And we are back with another edition of the Brother Sister Rewatch, although this is the Brother Friend Rewatch because
Hey-o.
My boy Mike is back. We're talking
about
another.
Thanks for having
me. Oh, anytime, man. We're talking about another album, Let the Bad Times Roll by The Offspring, released in 2021.
A new album.
A new album.
Brand new.
From The Offspring.
Fresh off the presses.
This is big time. Mary probably would not like this album. Actually, she might. My sister might like this album because her and Scott, her husband, listened to like. How do I put it? I don't know how to put it, actually, because her tastes change.
Yeah.
So one week she's listening to, like, Hall & Oates, who are awesome.
Oh, I love Hall & Oates.
And then it's like, who's that one? Like, not All-Time Low, maybe?
Okay.
Maybe not All-Time Low.
Emo,
Taking Back Sunday?
Emo, screamo bands?
I don't know. I got back.
TBS, Taking Back Sunday.
Yeah,
we'll enjoy them.
It's spring, so I started listening to TBS.
I don't blame you. I feel the newfound glory kick coming in soon.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
It's coming in soon.
My God.
Break out my mix.
I did listen to some newfound glory. I listened to Unwritten Law a few weeks ago. I pulled out like all those pop punk like power ballads.
This is the era we're talking about, man.
Oh, yeah. Because we go back to our youth, sitting by the pool on the deck, listening to Americana. And Smash.
Where
it started. Ixnay on the Ombre.
It's where it started.
And The Offspring are a band that we bonded over at a very young age.
Yeah, it's kind of similar to, you know, our last show that we talked about with Metallica. I feel it was like a similar thing with The Offspring. What was your first exposure to
Smash.
The Offspring?
Same cousin who introduced me to Metallica. Yeah. I was 8 years old. I got introduced to Smash. Okay. My 8-year-old mind could not handle it.
Yeah.
Because I remember I listened to... The Killboy Powerhead off that album. And I was like, well, this is different because it was so fast and furious. And I loved it. And then I listened to Come Out and Play with like the Middle Eastern guitar kind of style.
Absolutely.
I was totally sold. And then Bad Habit off that album.
Yeah.
And then like from that point on, like when Americana came out, totally sold. I went all in, balls deep on The Offspring.
Same thing, man. Same thing. So for me, you know, I'm starting to get into music, really listening to music for the first time, different things. But, you know, at this point, I'm very much just kind of listening to whatever's in on the car with my dad, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's classic rock. It's a lot of Tom Petty.
Tom Petty, yeah.
It's Foghat.
I had Meatloaf. My dad listened to Meatloaf in Boston.
there's Genesis, there's Phil Collins, there's Peter Gabriel.
We love Phil Collins. In this friendship, we love Phil Collins.
We still do.
We stand.
And, you know, other radio stuff, you know, there's some Jim Blossoms going
on. I was going to say,
on.
The 90s, we had Spin Doctors.
There's Jim Blossoms.
Third Eye Blind.
You know, I'm just starting to listen to that kind of stuff and really get my feet wet listening to music, getting into music, rock music for the first time. But it's kind of limited. It's basically whatever my mom has in the car, whatever my dad has in the car.
When you're a kid,
sticks,
you're at their mercy.
You know,
sticks? Oh,
right?
I listen to a lot of sticks.
So that's what we're starting with. And then my cousin Keith, one day, he hands me this cassette. That's right, we're talking about the cassette age.
That's right.
We're not even at CDs yet. Showing
it.
Our age here.
I love it.
He hands me this cassette. Offspring Smash, okay?
It's such a huge
album. I put it in, and same thing
You're
with
you, man.
You're
wearing the shirt, by the way.
I am. I am wearing the shirt. This album has stuck with me as it has you since the very beginning. And man, like I said, like you've mentioned, from opening track Nitro on, this is just nothing like I've ever heard before. You know, like when my dad first introduced me to Metallica, I've never heard heavy metal before. That was the first metal band I ever heard, and I was enthralled by that. Same thing here on the punk version. You know, my cousin gives me this cassette, Smash, and it's unlike anything I've ever heard.
Yeah.
We get slashing, fast riffs, 2-3 minute songs,
just
rippers.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I fell in love with it instantly. And,
There's not one song to skip.
Right,
either.
And this album has stuck with me, you know, through the test of time.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing, kind of like with Metallica, you take that album and you go back and listen to other stuff. It was Smash first for me, and then you know I think it was went, and then it went to Ixnay on the Ombre.
Oh yeah.
And then you know I never lost touch with this band, but I kind of then you know I didn't really rediscover them again until Americana came out.
Oh, yeah.
And at the time, I have to admit, when Pretty Fly for a White Guy came out, and I know Hokey and all that stuff.
We were all there, man.
But when that song came out, man, and that music video came out with Guy and whatever, and you know, I thought it was the coolest slick shit
ever. We all did.
Yeah,
everybody was buying it.
I thought it was the coolest shit ever.
Insane fans were voting that number one on fucking TRL.
They made it. And you know, that just carried on, my love. First concert. You were there?
We did. We
first
went together.
First concert we ever went 12
years old.
Yeah. The Americana tour, Offspring, Lit. I mean, if this doesn't scream summer punk to you, I don't know what does in 99. we were supposed to get the Mighty Mighty Boston's. Unfortunately, they pulled out.
Yeah. Who did we get, Mike?
We got the Dickies and their cock puppet.
He had a cock puppet.
Yeah.
And it had the balls dangling off.
But it was still an amazing show.
Yeah.
And I'll always remember it. And
it got fucking wild, too.
It did.
Like, we were too young to be that close. Do you remember? Like, we were pretty damn close.
We were pretty close.
There was a college girl next to me who wanted me to dance with her.
Yeah, she was.
And
she
like
was interested.
Looking back now, I think she was grooming me.
She was interested in 12 year old.
And Neil
Kevin.
Young. She told me 5 times.
Yeah, Neil Young.
You like Neil Young? Yeah, I love Neil Young. You probably shouldn't do PCP, miss.
But yeah, very fond memories early on.
We even saw them not a few years. It's probably about 7 years ago now.
Yeah, time flies. But yeah, at an anniversary show of the album that we were both introduced to.
We went to see them. It was them, Bad Religion, the Vandals, Pennywise. It was a great time.
Show.
We're really showing you guys who we are.
We are.
We're kind of grungy old punk guys.
That's what we are. What a side of Metallica.
That's right. And like, I think, like we talked last week about us having a band in that, Offspring influenced us as much
time.
As Metallica did.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Metallica was the harder edge. Offspring was like that fun edge.
Yeah.
Because we did like our serious songs even as little kids. Like your brother wrote that song about suicide when he was like 10. Dark Cloud.
Cloud, a little disturbing material
for
that
age. But
then
we'd write songs about like Duck Butter.
Duck Butter and, you know, one of my favorites, you know, the Banana Split Milky Way. I think that has a little bit of an Offspring edge to
totally.
It.
And so, like, a band like this, you know, we're talking about their newest album and that, but they've been around forever.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. Is
Godfathers of punk at this point. Mainstream punk.
Dare I say Dexter Holland, the lead singer of Offspring, is the James Hetfield of the punk movement. I don't think that's wrong.
We can make that comparison.
I don't think that's wrong.
We can make that comparison.
Because they've had the mainstream success.
They have.
Because this album has gone number one, I think, on the alternative charts, we're speaking.
Which is incredible, because we're talking, you know, 30 years in the game. I believe this band started in 84.
Yeah. So it's almost 40 years.
They've been around as long as we've been around, essentially.
Yeah.
So we've grown up with them, and the fact that, you know, they're still putting music out there, and that it's topping charts somewhere is amazing.
It's mind blowing.
It's amazing.
It makes me feel like I hitched my wagon to the right horse.
As an Offspring fan. We picked the winners. We picked the lifers that have stuck around.
But luckily, we're not talking about like a Saint Anger of the Offspring today.
We're not.
I don't think this is a bad album we're going to talk about.
No, I don't think so.
I think it has some missteps.
Sure.
But we'll get there. It came out April 16th of this year, produced by Bob Rock.
See how we tie things together?
It's all fun.
Bob Rock, 2003.
Yes.
He put his name on that piece of garbage, Metallica's Saint Anger. He put his name to that.
Doggy dude.
But he survived all these years later. Somebody still wants Bob Rock to produce their albums.
And
the Offspring.
He did okay on this one, except for one song that I have questions about.
Okay, we'll get to it.
But this one, it clocks in at a brisk 33 minutes.
A vast contrast to the timing of our last show of St. Anger's.
It cuts it in half, and it's basically the length of your typical Bloodhound Gang release.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Which you can look at it two different ways. I look at this as positive. I look at this as long as the songs are fun,
yes,
which I believe
keep
they are.
Keep your interest for when they are.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, you know, I can drive to and from work and get through the album. This is, you know, it's fun. I don't have to think about it too much.
Mm-hmm.
Just nice, smooth ride. Or you can look at it the other way and say, well, they didn't put any work into this, and they're just throwing stuff out there just to put something else out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was no heart or anything put into it, no work put into it. Well, let's put out a record. 30 minutes, that's fine.
It sounds like you're giving something away there.
I'm not really, though.
No? Okay.
I'm not really, though.
Because I think there's some truth to both of those.
I think there is.
Yeah.
Sure.
And so, much like the Metallica album we talked about last week, where there was strife with a bassist who left before the recording, we have that with this one as well.
We do, we do. You had a longtime Offspring bassist, Gray Kay, and believe me, I have done research on this.
Okay.
And this is
Have you found anything?
No, this is very vague.
It's like, in court.
The only thing that I could find is that, you know, that my understanding is simply the Offspring wanted to move on from Gray Kay for whatever reason.
He didn't like that.
And he did not like that, and he's been in court trying to sue the band for, you know, his rightful stake in what the band has already produced in the past. I mean, this is an original member, I do believe, Gray Kay, since the very beginning. So I'm not really sure what happened. Gray K's never struck me as some kind of like crazy guy. He always seems kind of
The guy who just stands on stage awkwardly holding a bass.
Doesn't seem like he's ever aged.
No, he's a vampire.
So the rest of the band has aged. Dexter and Noodles have aged.
Yeah.
Not necessarily gracefully, but they have aged. But Greg has kind of stayed the same. He's been the solid rock, I feel like, all these years. And I got to tell you, this is something that made me nervous.
Oh, yeah.
With Greg K's departure. This made me very nervous about this album. This is the first time in all my years of being an Offspring fan, and I've been a fan since the very beginning.
Yeah.
This is the first time where I had trepidation.
Oh, 100%.
To listen to an Offspring album. I remember the night that it premiered on Spotify, I had the choice to, you know, not listen to it and then go buy the CD the next day and be disappointed then.
push off the disappointment.
Or listen to it right then and there at midnight. When it was released, and I and my brother decided we're gonna listen to it, and I was fucking nervous, man. Because I thought every band has this, right? At some point they get to the point where it's like there's nothing left to offer. You're tapped out.
Yeah.
And it's not inspired. It's just bleh. And I was in great fear that this was going to be the album, because that's the one thing you can say about the Offspring, and I've always said it about them. Have they had bullshit songs?
Oh yeah, every album has one.
Have they had very questionable choices? Have they had some poor choices?
Yeah.
Whether it's they're writing the song just to be fun and just to make themselves laugh or whatever, and
California
not really
Cruising.
that's the worst one.
Yeah.
But you know, they've always had that, and I've learned over the years to just accept that and enjoy the good stuff. Well, for this album, for whatever reason, maybe it was Greg Kay's departure. I think, like you, that Christmas song that they released.
Okay, the Christmas song, I was going to bring that up.
Baby Please Come Home.
The Christmas song, they did a video for Baby Please Come Home.
Yeah.
And it was one of the most egregious things I've ever heard in my life.
Please!
And it was the night we watched Fat Man, the Mel Gibson Santa Claus killer movie.
Yes.
And we're sitting there, and then afterwards, we're having White Russians with gingerbread men. We're having a good time.
The grand old tradition.
Oh, yeah. And your brother's like, hey, the new Offspring Christmas song. And he puts it on. And my jaw hit the floor.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, Noodles looks like a corpse.
Yeah.
Dexter, bloated as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
The two guys who are replacing Greg Kay and the drummer, Pete Parada, they're just happy to be there.
Yeah.
Very happy.
Yeah.
And Dexter's voice is cracking. When the big part of the song comes, the big crescendo, please, please, please. And it's horrid.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, and they're releasing an album in a few months.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. They had no energy. Like, it was lethargic as fuck.
I was nervous. I was very nervous. And I think the combination of no longer being Greg Kay and that whole thing being a big mystery. Like, I still don't know what happened.
Nobody does. Apparently, there's court records out there, but I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not going to go through all the legalese.
I don't know. I mean, it happens. People leave bands after a long time.
Their old drummer, Ron, has a case against them as well over royalties, apparently. Yeah. Apparently, Dexter's tight with the cash.
He's hanging on that pretty fly money.
Oh, it makes sense. I get it, but you got two bandmates.
I mean, they gave him away $1 million in TRL. Remember that stupid shit?
Lest we forget
they
for the
Conspiracy
of One.
They gave him $1 million for Conspiracy of One.
Which is another solid album.
Great marketing, you know, obviously for the album. I'm not sure it worked out because I don't think Conspiracy of One financially was very successful.
No.
Not compared to Americana.
No. Americana was like a blockbuster.
But, and they gave away $1 million. So yeah, Dexter's, he's holding on to that cash he's got left.
Good for him. Yeah, he got it. But like, that's the thing, is like talking about like that song coming out, and then the last few albums have had a blueprint where there's like really great songs. Start off hot. Yeah, really great songs. And then there's these duds in the middle, mm-hmm. and then it tries to end hot, and you're like, oh, okay. Like, yeah. They have a blueprint.
And honestly, at this point, it's gone on for 4 or 5 albums, I've accepted that. I've accepted that's what Offspring are.
They're going to send the duds out there to try and get
ready to play. And I'm going to enjoy what's good about these albums, and I'm going to enjoy and cherish those. And those other moments, I'm just going to...
Yeah, brush them aside. I'm never going to listen to California Cruising again. I'm never going to listen to Christy, Are You Doing Okay, or any of them. You just skip over them, and you go on to Nothing Town, and you're happy. So
sure. Nothing Town's an interesting choice, but I do like it.
I think the end... okay, so Rise and Fall, Days and Grays, the one... 2 albums ago from them, and late, I think 2008.
Crazy that that's 2 albums ago.
I know, 2008. Jesus Christ. Wow. But, like, that album starts off with, like, 4 bangers.
Yeah.
Has 2 or 3 duds. Mm-hmm. And then you got Nothing Town, Let's Hear It for Rock Bottom.
A nice finish.
Shit Is Messed Up. I'm like, these are okay. I'm okay with these. Like, they're fine, like, pop punk.
And I just assume that that's going to be the Offspring formula to the end of time. And if that is the formula, then I'm okay with that, because I'm taking the good. I'm taking the good and I'm brushing aside the bad, and I've come to accept that. I've come to accept the Offspring formula over this past decade or two.
Life is a lot easier when you accept that things aren't always going to be perfect.
Right, and I have accepted that. Yeah. But for some reason, and I don't know what it was, I don't know why I doubted my all-time favorite band the way that I did. Yeah. But the Greg Kaye thing and that Christmas music video and this new bass player just smiling.
But we saw him, you know.
We did?
He was the extra guitar player on stage in 2014 when we saw them.
Oh, okay.
They just switched him to bass.
That's right. Todd's Planet. Yeah.
So we got that guy. At least he's been around. You know, he like knows how
Todd
it works.
Morris, I believe.
Todd Morris,
Todd Morris.
So he just moved over and he's back in there. So it's just like, okay, cool.
But I just had apprehension on like any other time I've ever ever been an album.
Because it should also be noted that the time, Days Go By came out in 2012. It's been 9 years.
9 years.
That much time, and they've been putting this one, they've been talking about this album since I think 2013.
Yeah.
Or 2014 at least, seriously.
It's been a good 5 years since
they've been pushing it off and pushing up. And Greg Kaye is actually on, I think, 2 of the songs on this album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe so.
So it's obviously a mashup. It's a mess. It's definitely not the most polished finished product, but I'm cool with it. I like it.
Yeah, I like it too. Is quite honestly, you know, I've listened to it a lot. I've listened to this album a lot, and part of it, because it is my favorite band, but it's also because I really do like it. Yeah. I really do enjoy this album. I don't have much of a problem with it. There are some things, and we'll discuss.
Yeah, it's fun. It's just a fun album.
It's fun, and especially coming out, you know, as the weather is getting nicer.
This is a deck song, or a deck album.
This is a deck, this is a pool album if there ever was one.
Oh yeah, you put it on in the background, you bullshit, you have some beers, and this is playing.
Yeah.
Everything, life is good.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what I think about it. Yeah. And, you know, we'll get into it now.
We'll get into it.
So, the first song, This Is Not Utopia, 2 minutes and 38 seconds.
Oof. Yeah.
Yeah, what do you think?
Fast.
I think it's a great opener.
I do too, and the thing about it is, interestingly enough, and I don't know if it was that negative apprehension energy, or, you know, this is the one thing the Offspring have always been very good at, I think, on pretty much all of their albums, is starting off hot.
Oh yeah,
with a great opening track. And quite frankly, the first time I heard This Is Utopia, I cringed a little bit. Not because I think the song's garbage, but the first listen, it was really underwhelming to me. And this is just because, let's go through some of them. Yeah. I mean, Session on Ignition, right?
Amazing.
Okay. The opener on that. Nitro on Smash. Meaning of Life on X-Nay. Have You Ever on Americana. You know what I'm saying? Come Out Swinging on Conspiracy of One. Yeah. The Noose on Splinter. There's the intro, but then there's the Noose on Splinter. I mean, these lead off tracks
are always
badass. So, you know, I already have apprehension about this album.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm nervous about it. And this one, first listen, I don't know if it's the ting 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 and drums in the beginning. I don't know what it is, but it just doesn't really resonate with me right away. But after several listens, I do like this track. I do like this track. And it's funny, the first time I ever heard it, I'm like, Dexter sounds like, you know, Mark Hoppus on this one.
You're right.
This sounds like Mark Hoppus. But then my girlfriend and Chris both mentioned what it really sounds like, and I agree with this even more, This is like a Bad Religion type track.
Yo, I can see that. I can now that you mention it.
Yeah.
Especially the chorus.
Yeah.
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 Because the chorus, of course, because I'm an idiot, I get thinking, the roof is on fire.
Oh, we all do, yeah. But, I think we all thought that.
Yeah, but no, you're right. That is a Bad Religion type of chorus. Yeah. But yeah, man, the tempo is awesome. It's got an easy hook, catchy chorus. It's short, it just flies through, which is typical. This is their MO.
And the subject matter, fine, kind of the theme of the album. We're living in fucked up times. We're trying to deal, find out how to rise above all the hatred in this world and everything. And kind of an optimistic finish.
Yeah, a little bit. Much more so than I would expect optimism from them at this point, to be completely honest. They've never been the most optimistic band when I think about them.
Sarcastic, maybe.
Cynical. Definitely cynical.
But, I do like... I've come around on this one.
Okay.
Wasn't hot on in the beginning, but I've come around.
Yeah, I don't know if it's as good as most of the other ones you mentioned, but I think it fits. Yeah. I think it's a fine opener. Yeah. So that brings us to the title track, Let the Bad Times Roll at 3:18.
Okay.
I like it. I like it a lot. I think this is catchy as fuck. This is a summer anthem. It's a mainstream pop punk track, and it's just fun. It's the music works. There's barely any bass in it. You can tell listen to it, but like it doesn't need it. It's just fun.
Yeah, I like this one a lot too. And again, this is much like most of this album. This is one that really caught on to me.
Yeah.
First time.
Oh, you didn't like it?
First time hearing it? No, you know, because I have negative mindset. I have a negative mindset on this album going in. And the first time I heard the single, I was just like, oh, here we go. You know, here's the Offspring doing their silly bullshit stuff again. Silly bullshit pop rock, all the sounds and everything, and just the goofiness. But the catchiness of this song and its growability I don't know if growability is
it. Fuck it.
Fuck it.
I do want to talk about the fuck it guy.
Yeah, we will talk about that. But yeah, this is, from when I first heard the single months ago, when they first released it, to the release date, to, you know, now a month or two after the album's been released, this song is just continuing to grow on me to the point where early on, first listen, I'm like, this is probably going to be the worst song on the album or pretty close.
Yeah.
No. To me, this is probably one of the catchiest singles they've ever put out.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm talking ever.
Yeah, this is up there.
Song is infectious.
Yeah. This is, because we talk about they always have the duds that are usually the ones they want to get the radio play.
Right.
Like, they're like, this
falls in line with this. This is a very radio-friendly,
but this is really good.
Yeah.
As opposed to the other ones, which are trash.
To me, I think I've mentioned this before to you, Conspiracy of One's hit original Prankster.
Oh.
I feel like this has got that Original Prankster vibe to it.
Yeah.
But it's a good song.
It's better.
Unlike Original Prankster.
Yeah, this is one that I catch myself like humming or singing to myself.
Infectious.
Because like even Dexter's not the greatest vocalist, but like
he's for acquired taste.
Like if you like higher pitch whiny at times, like it works. But like the oh and like some of the lyrics in this song, they catch you off guard.
Yeah.
Whether it's "Hey Lincoln, how does your grave roll?" Or "Mexicans and blacks and Jews, we got it all figured out for you."
No shame in what this guy says.
They just catch you off guard where you're like, because especially in the times we live in now, you hear Mexicans, blacks, and Jews in a song, you're like, wait, what?
And this is the thing that always kind of like blows my mind on Dexter, and it's not really a knock on him, because this is obviously a very smart man. He's a biochemist.
Yeah, he's got a doctorate.
He's basically a certified genius.
Yeah.
I mean, he flies planes. I mean, this guy,
Renaissance man.
Yeah, he's very smart.
Biology?
Yeah, very smarter than I could ever dream to be.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of these lyric choices.
You're like, well, I guess literature is his weak point. That's his Achilles heel.
But it's all in fun. It's all in fun. And I like that, you know, I don't want to fucking talk about Donald Trump anymore.
No.
But, you know, the kind of, like, sarcastic take of this, like, sarcastically being, like, a song, like, from Donald Trump's mindset, like a Trump supporter's mindset. Like, the whole lock her up, that's a good one, I gotta say. That's a funny line.
I prefer something with a bit of, like, humor to it rather than, like, another Orange Man Bad song. Yeah. You know, like there's only so much I could watch Stephen Colbert before I'm just like, all right.
Oh, I can't stand him.
Get new material.
Yeah, it's like, over. It's
but
over.
But like The Offspring take a different tack to right. it. And right. it makes it
it's
much
like
more
a, like
enjoyable.
A, like a satire. Yeah. From it's, that kind of perspective.
It's much more enjoyable.
And this,
it's much
this
more
is
like,
just a really fun song.
The music is great. Like, I didn't know these guys could write a radio band.
Very
like
summer,
this.
Very summery vibe.
Yeah.
Like you said, out on the deck, chilling by poolside.
Katy Perry wishes she could write this.
Yeah. Well, we could go back to that song and Days
no,
Go
no,
By,
no,
but
not,
I'd rather not.
No.
But this is Let the Bad Times Roll, but this is actually a good time.
It is. It's awesome.
This is a good time.
And fuck it. So
yeah,
fuck it.
Here
guy.
We go. Yeah.
We got the guy who shows up who used to, he was, okay, I saw a live show of them doing Smash It Up.
Uh-huh.
And he just comes out on the stage and he just gets on the microphone and goes, smash it up, smash it. He's just doing it.
They brought this
he's
guy
like
back from
guy.
The original Come Out and Play.
Yeah.
You gotta keep him separated.
Yeah.
Keep him separated guy has come back.
He's just like a roadie
from
who would 1994. Come out and do like,
yeah.
And they found him.
2021, they brought him back.
And all,
the fuck it.
All he does is come on this.
Fuck it.
He just comes on the song and says, fuck you.
And you know what?
You.
It's perfect.
It is. And the song, when it's fading out, you get one more. Fuck you.
I love the fade out fuck it at the
it's
end.
It's so awesome.
Just brings it full circle.
So, song number three, Behind Your Walls,
okay.
321.
Yeah.
Now, when I was reading the track listing and going through and listening, I heard Let the Bad Times Roll, and I'm like, Behind Your Walls. Oh, another Trump song. Here
yeah,
we go.
You
and
think.
It's totally not.
It's not.
It's a very personal song
it's
by
deep.
Dexter.
It's a deep song,
yeah.
Yeah,
about like communication and a relationship. Mm-hmm. And the music's not too bad. I'm trying to think. I don't think it might be this one that reminded me of one of their singles back in about 20 years ago, Million Miles Away.
Okay.
It's got a little bit
kind
of that
kind of like
vibe
a milder version.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. It's not like a ripoff or anything. But like it's kind of got those vibes to it where it's not as fast, but it's got good pacing, and I don't know, I like it. I think it's a good song.
Yeah, so first listen, this is becoming a trend for me. first listen on this song, third song in, bored. I'm bored. I'm
really?
Bored. Yeah, it's not, it doesn't do anything for me. I'm just like, okay, that was 3 minutes of, like, whatever. I don't hate it.
Yeah,
but
it was just filler.
It's
yeah.
just filler, like, I don't care. But multiple listens, and this is what I really like about this album. The playback ability is very,
it's very
strong.
High, yeah.
It's very strong. Even for what, in the beginning, I perceived to be the weaker tracks. So, first time through on this one, didn't really care for it. But, you know, third, fourth, fifth, sixth time. Yeah. I think it's a solid track.
Yeah.
I think it's really solid. I like the more serious tone. There are times where this doesn't work for The Offspring, but I think it does work on this song.
It works
song.
For this one.
Yeah, I do like it.
They have
it.
The right mindset.
I like the behind his walls.
Oh, yeah,
kinda,
the background.
It's kind of
yeah.
like very 80s. I don't know.
You know
like
that's
like
the
an
thing.
80s hair band ballad.
Yeah, it's got like a, man, how do I describe it? The backing vocals are like very harmonious.
Yeah.
More so than you, like with The Offspring, you get a lot of like whoas and ohs.
Yeah, yeah, this is a little different.
This is their like singing in harmony, and it's like really good. It's like almost like a Bon Jovi-esque
yeah,
type of deal.
I kind of like this song as like a change of pace song.
Yeah.
Decent. All right. Solid.
Guys.
Solid.
If you're going to buy one on iTunes, get this one. And then number four on this album, at 3 minutes 11 seconds, we get Army of One.
Mm-hmm.
Before I say my piece on it, I want you to go.
Oh, okay. Army of One, see, I'm curious if we're going to differ here.
I think we might.
Army of One, see, this is where the album turns for the better for me.
Okay.
Oh, uh-oh.
I think this is a hiccup.
Oh, interesting. Okay, well, it turns for the better for me because I like the... This is more of the punk style that
yeah.
I've come accustomed to from The Offspring that I fell in love with in the beginning. This is more of the standard track for me, picking up the pace. I like the guitar, the work by Noodles on this one. It reminds me of, like, I'm not a beach guy, but it reminds me of, like, you know,
like
Hawaii
surf.
5-0
yeah.
surfing.
It does
like
have
a surfing like
vibe.
Like a surfing vibe to it. I like the fast-paced lyric. I just love the tempo of this song. This is more of a vintage Offspring song to me. This is more of where what I'm looking for in an Offspring album. So this is where the album kind of, where the other songs, first listen for me, I wasn't too into. This one I liked.
Okay.
At first.
Okay,
I do like it.
I do like the music. Okay. I like the music a lot.
All right.
The thing I have against this one, and the first time I listened to it, the first time I listened to an album, I always go to the music. I'm like, does this music move me in any way? Am I digging it? Do I like the pace? Do I like the tempo? What's it doing?
Yeah.
And I didn't realize until I listened to it again that it's pretty badly mixed.
Yeah.
I can barely understand the vocals in most of the song. Mm-hmm. Did you have that kind of issue too?
There is one weird thing that I have noticed in this song. I noticed there is like I don't know if it's the cymbals on the drums, on the hi-hat, mm-hmm. or it's the guitar, but something is like screeching.
Yeah.
There is a production mishap.
Yeah, something is overriding it. And
I'm glad that you brought that up, because I just really like the song.
Yeah.
I like the idea of the song, and I like the tempo, and I like the pace of the song. Mm-hmm. And I love that I think it's at the 2.5 minute part or something around those lines. The Kevin Noodles Wasserman, call him by his full name. He's a Kevin.
He is. He's another one. one of us.
But the former janitor. I love the guitar solo thing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Brings back, you know, memories of Kids Aren't a Riot.
Definitely.
Along those lines, which he just the standard classic Offspring guitar solo, and then it turns into like a bird squeaking or squawking. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I did.
And
yeah.
I think that's really cool, and I really like that, but. Yes, there are production issues with this song.
Yeah, okay. Agree. As long because it kind of took me out of it when I was listening to it again, and I'm like,
there's just some weird thing going on with the hi-hat. I'm not really sure what's going on.
Well, just the volume, even like, because I can't hear the vocals in the one verse. I was like, I can't hear what he's saying. I'm not that old.
This is a Bob Rock specialty.
That's what it's. And this is the only song on here that I can like pick that up on. That there's like weird.
It's more noticeable on this song than any other song.
Yeah, like this is the one.
And I like the song enough where I'm able to overlook that.
I think I'm getting there.
But there is a weird production.
Because this is a faster. This is like that classic vintage.
Yeah,
kind of sound.
And I like I said, this is like.
I just wish they cleaned it up.
You're going out surfing, man. I've never been a surfer, but if I were, this is my surf song.
You're hanging 10 to the Army of One.
Yeah. This is like Dahui.
Oh, Dahui is awesome.
It's like a surf tune, surf vibe. But yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that.
Okay.
Because as much as I like the song, there is something weird going on production-wise.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. As long as I wasn't like on an
island. No, you're not crazy with that at all. I don't know if it's guitar or cymbal, just how it's mixed. There's some weird thing going on.
Like, the music just overrides the vocals a lot, which is very weird.
it's kind of weird that they released it the way they did.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so that brings us to Breaking These Bones at 2 minutes and 46 seconds.
Yeah.
I actually didn't have much to say about this one. I just said it was like inoffensive power punk.
It's inoffensive. This is another standard Offspring song. I agree with you. I don't know if there's really a lot to offer.
No.
It's one of those things where like I'm going to listen to it and I don't really have any urge to skip it.
Yeah.
But does it resonate with me? Not really.
If I had to compare it, because we're wrestling fans, like, okay, think about, like, the 100 Offspring songs that there are, all right? And then you think of, like, all the WrestleMania matches that there's been through the years.
Oh, jeez.
This is, like, the Razor Ramon-Bob Backlund match
of
Offspring songs. It's, like, inoffensive. It's there. It's cool. But,
you'll watch it.
Yeah, and then you'll, like, move on.
You won't seek it out, necessarily.
No, it's just there.
I like the drums in the beginning. And again, I like the pace. This is the Offspring that I've come accustomed to, that we've come accustomed to, that we come to expect and enjoy.
This is post-2003 Offspring.
Yeah. So, again, like you said, inoffensive. Is there anything spectacular about it that sticks out? No.
So, like how they talk about war in baseball, this is a replacement level song.
Yeah.
You know?
It's okay.
Yeah, so the next one, Coming For You, 3 minutes and 48 seconds, was actually released in 2015 as a single.
It was.
This is one of the Greg K songs.
Greg K was still around for this
one. The weird thing is, I don't have a lot of memories of this. Like, I recall it being released, but I don't really remember it getting any play or anything.
That's the interesting thing. They did release this as a standalone single in 2015.
Yeah.
And I remember when it came out, and again, it's just, maybe I shouldn't, but I hold this band to a higher standard than I hold a lot of other bands. You know what I mean? Just because I've grown up with them. This has been my hand-picked favorite band since I've been, you know.
We've seen them multiple times. We buy all the albums. We have the merch.
So I understand what they are at this point and what they have to offer. and I appreciate that for the most part they've stuck to that formula.
Yeah.
But you know, I still want something to hold on to whenever the Offspring release something. And 2015, when they released this, I just didn't care for it. I didn't have any feelings towards it whatsoever. No. I'm like, oh yeah, it's Offspring doing Green Day stuff.
It kind of, yeah.
You know, it is. But the interesting thing is, as much as I didn't care about it in 2015, being on this album, I'm not saying it's the best track on the album,
yeah,
but I do think it's one of the better tracks on here.
I think this is kind of like the title track. I think this is one that, it's like a stadium rock vibe.
Yeah.
It, you could see this being played like at a commercial break on Fox Absolutely. Football.
Absolutely. Know,
like Cletus is like kicking a football in the
sun.
Or
as Chris mentioned, my brother mentioned, why isn't this being used for UFC?
Honest to God, you know, that's a great point.
You know what I mean?
Donkey Kong!
He calls a Donkey Kong. I think that's what kind of threw me off first time I heard it in 2015.
Yeah, the lyrics are kind of fucked up. I'm not going to lie. Like, when I was listening to him, I was like...
But it's got my favorite lyric on the whole album.
Let's hear it.
What's up? Fuck you up.
When I heard that, I'm just like, oh.
This is special. This is perfect UFC anthem.
It really, like Dana White, get on this shit, man.
Come on.
We watch every Saturday, bro.
Yeah, throw us a phone. Fight nights. Give us Offspring coming for you. New official UFC thing.
Last week wasn't good, huh?
Yeah, it was.
Disappointed.
Very bloody. Very bloody show. But the parlays didn't work out. Made me angry. Fights weren't so great.
Yeah, a few weeks ago, this motherfucker nailed, what is it, 12 bets? You did the undercard, the main card, the preliminary. Like, you picked 12 fights correct.
Yeah, I still didn't make any money, though.
You didn't make, a couple voids, right?
30 that I've blown trying to win more. I mean, Chris is the one that's killing it. With.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't have a great week this week, but he won with other things with Phil Mickelson and bullshit.
I was going to say, his problem is putting money on Kevin Harvick every Sunday.
Well, it's going to pay off someday.
One day, Kevin Harvick will win. My thing is, I'm just holding out till college football. I've got a few more months to go, but I am stoked.
College is the way to go.
I'm telling you right now, if you want to do a futures bet, Michigan is a two-point dog to Washington.
In the opener?
It's not. It's like in the early. It's like an early out-of-conference game. I think they're a two-point dog to Washington on some books. They're going to beat Washington.
They've been such a disappointment. I don't know.
They have. They've won 10 games like three of the last 4 years. Harbaugh is not bad. It's just because he doesn't beat Ohio State. But the thing is, okay, guys, we're going to get off on a tangent here. I'm a Penn State guy.
Yeah.
Mike is a Michigan guy. We both despise Ohio State.
Right.
We have that in common.
Right.
But this is what I don't get. Harbaugh doesn't beat Ohio State. Run him out. He's a fucking bomb.
Uh-huh.
James Franklin doesn't beat Ohio State. Yo, he should get the USC job. What the fuck am I missing?
Yeah. Let's give him the USC job because he's done such a great job at Penn State.
The James Franklin love by the college football and press and ESPN, it just blows my mind.
It's not coming from any of the Penn State fans I know, though.
No, we all fucking know the guy's a fraud. We all know, like, okay, he recruits. He's a great recruiter. He can't recruit a fucking quarterback.
My dad thinks he's a joke, so.
Yeah, here's a James Franklin press conference. Well, our boys went out there. I'm yelling at a very high volume. Our boys went out there. They played very hard.
He's loud.
Sean Clifford is going to be a star.
Yep, the big red dog, Clifford.
He's fucking horrible. James Franklin's a joke.
You got another year of that.
We're paying him like $8 million a year.
Oh, man.
Like my tuition, all the tuition money I paid them over the years.
It's going to
James Franklin's pockets.
Oh,
I got to fucking root for them.
What a horrible way to look at
it. I'm basically paying his salary.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, so that's all to say Coming For You is a pretty fun song.
Yeah, we like it a lot. All right. One of the standouts of this album, I would say.
All right. Yeah. So next is the new single, We Never Have Sex Anymore, at 3 minutes and 30 seconds. And I'm just going to come out and say it. I fucking love this song.
Okay.
I think this song is awesome.
Okay.
I think the video with John Stamos and a chimp at a strip club.
You've seen the chimp. PETA not happy about that. But.
Fuck PETA. The chimp and John Stamos are watching strippers.
You know those chimps were taken care of very well.
They probably eat better than I do.
Oh, I'm sure of it.
And like... You know, you think John Stamos is going to, like, punch a chimp?
Come on. No, he's hand-fiving the chimp. He's having a great time.
Yeah, he's like, hey, tits, chimp. So,
did you ever think in the year 2020
no.
you would be seeing a music video, Offspring, putting out a new single about apparently how Dexter doesn't have any sex?
No.
And there's chimps in the music video playing out the disengaged couple.
Yeah.
And the one goes to the strip club to find John Stamos... and hang out at the strip club with the Offspring performing in said strip club. Did you ever think you'd see that in 2021?
I think the sentence that you just uttered is the most ridiculous thing that came to pass. Like, it happened. Like, there's no reason this should be happening, but it happened. It's pretty fun. Like, this song is fun. We talked about fun. It's basically a swing song. Yeah. They have like an upright bass. There's horns, and it's like it's a swing song. It's awesome.
And apparently, this is a song that was written a long time ago.
They've been kicking this around for 20 years.
Yeah, back from the Americana days, I believe.
They were backstage at shows, like noodling around with this.
Yeah, so this is a work in progress that has been, you know, played with throughout time. And first time I heard it, you know, again, the tough critic I am, I hear Dexter, you know, whining about not getting any in the verses. Very bored, very disenchanted.
I was going to say that.
But then that first time listen, right? That, as you mentioned, that swing chorus comes up and man.
They kill it.
Yes, yes, yes. And I got to say it, this is the song that I want to skip.
Yes.
This is the song that I want to skip when I'm listening to the album. I want. This is the one. Oh, here, we don't have sex anymore. Here we go. This is the one I want to skip, and I can't.
I know.
Do it.
It's so good.
I can't do it because it's fun.
It's fun, and that's what I wrote down here. Is that this is the classic, quintessential Offspring fun band song.
Yeah.
But it's so much better than the ones they've tried in the past.
Right. Yeah. So it's just not like so many of their fun songs in the past, there's something really annoying going on that just, whether it's Dexter doing something with the vocals or just really ridiculous.
Or they're like doing like an electronic
stupid
thing.
Lyrics
in it.
Or some poor electronic choice.
Yeah.
But this one, this one just kind of hits on all cylinders for a goofy song. I love the swingy chorus. I just love it. Yes. Plus, don't have sex anymore.
The thing is, when I first listened to it, I was like, yeah, his vocals, he does sound bored. But then when I was thinking about it, I was like, it fits the song. It fits the lyrics.
He's bored with his relationship.
Yeah.
He's not getting any. I'm very disengaged. I'm very disenchanted.
Yeah, it's like an artistic choice.
And then I'm going to pick it up with this chorus. Yeah, it fits the mold of the song, the direction of the song.
I'm all about it.
This is,
is the star of the album.
I'm happy that this got put on.
Yeah, and like it took them 20 years to finally bite the... I don't know if they were embarrassed, which I don't know why they would be with other crap.
Apparently it started out as an acoustic song, like noodling around.
Really?
And I don't really want to hear an acoustic version of it.
No, this is...
But I like this swingy version.
The way they put it together with all the extra instruments
and
the style, this is a catchy-ass
kind
fucking
of
song.
Kind of like the, you know, the title track, Let the Bad Times Roll, just infectious, catchy.
This is one you want to go out of your way to listen to. Honestly. Yeah,
this is the song I want to skip, and I can't do it.
This is a song you don't hear typically on radio in 2021.
No.
But you'll thank it. No. You'll thank us. Go listen to
it. Go check it out. You'll have a fun time.
After that...
And it's relatable, right?
I think it's very relatable. You know,
at some point... You're going to relate to this.
The magic leaves the marriage. So.
Or whatever you're doing.
Yeah, whoever you're with. So, the next one we got, In the Hall of the Mountain King. 1 minute. It's just a musical interlude of them doing it really fast. And filler.
It's filler.
This, I don't know why this is on. Well, I do know why.
It's essentially used as the, you know, like X Day on the Ombre has intermission.
Yeah,
It's the intermission of the album, I guess.
Well, we've got a few more intermissions on here.
But it's whatever.
So the next one is the Opioid Diaries at 3 minutes and 1 second.
Uh-huh.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love this track.
Yes, me too.
This is a great track.
This is, serious subject matter, obviously, with the opioid problem we have in America, just around the world.
Not many people touch on it, actually.
No, it's
when
a
I was
serious,
in
dark,
music.
Dark subject, obviously. And I like that, you know, again, they're trying to instill hope. I don't know if the subject matter that they use in the song, they use the name Sean. I don't know if that's somebody
that
the band
knows. Yeah, I was going to ask you about that
just a character that they brought up, or if it's somebody that they know personally that has dealt with it. But, you know, it's a good message, right? That, you know, no matter what you're going through, you don't think you could quit.
Yeah.
Like, you can.
It kind of reminds me of... Well,
but I like the energy of the song. It's very serious subject matter. It's dark, but also hopeful. And this, as far as musically to me, this sounds something directly off of Americana.
Oh, I was going to say Nation. Yeah, okay. I was going to say kind of having like a No Hero vibe.
Okay. Yeah. I could hear that. I think just production-wise, yeah. it sounds more something updated.
I can see that, yeah.
Like No Breaks, End of the Line for me.
Oh, No Breaks.
Sounds like
yeah.
it'd be on that part of Americana.
All right.
Yeah, this is a really badass song. Me and Chris actually saw this song live.
Oh, really?
When it was titled It Won't Get Better. We saw them with Offspring with 311 about 3-4 years ago. They played at the Allentown Fair.
Allentown?
Yeah. Most pathetic fair you've ever been to.
I've never
been there. We parked at a Walgreens and we walked over. And they
played this.
This was a beautiful Wednesday afternoon in the summertime in August, I believe, and nobody was there.
That's so funny.
Nobody was there. Nobody was doing
the rides. I'm surprised
they played. Nobody was eating anything. There was just people like meandering around. There was no excitement.
Funnel cake.
There was funnel cake. Yes, of course. But once we got into the venue, and the show started, there were people.
Yeah.
But it was just very bizarre walking in. I'm like, what is going on here? This is the Great Allentown Fair? This is sad. But it was a fun show, and yeah, they were playing It Won't Get Better at the time, so that's 4 years ago. So this is another song that's been a couple years in the making.
Actually, now that you mention it, that chorus is definitely Americana-ish.
Yeah. That just the whole music to me is like, wow, this is an Americana song.
Definitely a good song. Definitely
like
a different topic.
Mm-hmm.
And they covered it really well, I think.
Yeah, I dig it a lot.
So the next one is probably my favorite song on the album, Hasan Chop, where they actually go and sample the Looney Tunes cartoon, Hasan Chop! And it's a song about, you know, violence in the Middle East and beheadings and, you know, religious wars and shit like that. It's fast. It's furious. It's old school.
Mm-hmm.
It is a punch to the fucking ball sack.
Yes.
It is awesome.
And here's the thing about Hasan Chop. I was looking at the track listing when the track listing was first announced for this album months ago. And I said, I have bad vibes about this album. And I think it's going to be a bad album. I admit it. I thought it was going to be bad. I was just worried about the direction this band was going. I was very concerned. But I looked through the track list and I said, if there is going to be a saving grace on this album, I know this band. And I guarantee you the saving grace is going to be Hasan Chop. I just know it. That is going to be Vintage Offspring. That's going to be fast and furious and dark and badass and awesome and all the things I love. If it's on this album, that's the track.
And it is.
And first time I heard it from the opening, as you met, Hasan Chop! When I thought about the song in my head months earlier without ever hearing the song, and this is how well I know this band, I guess, is this song was everything that I thought it would be. With my imagination in my head, it came out perfectly. I couldn't have thought of it any better than it actually came out.
It's money.
So, yes, I am very happy with this track. You mentioned it sounds old school.
This is definitely, like, early, like, first two albums.
I feel like self-titled, like, Baghdad kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Like, Kill the President kind of vibe.
Yeah. Noodles definitely went into the tank for this one.
Yeah. This is just a great, great throwback. Everything I love about The Offspring in 2 minutes.
Oh, 100%. And, like, you know, we talked about...
I love when it slows down, or that guitar solo.
Oh, yeah.
And slows down in the middle and then picks back up. Just great.
We talked about the title track and We Don't Have Sex Anymore as being like, go out and listen. Those are radio friendly.
Yeah.
This one's not the radio friendly.
Not the
radio
friendly one.
This is the, hey, you like punk, you want to do cardio. Like, this is the song
you
listen to.
Fast?
This is it. Hasan Chop.
Get your crunches going.
Oh, God. Yeah. The next one, Gone Away, which is a...
Yeah.
Off the... excuse me. This is an earlier song that they did. Mm-hmm. That was on Smash, right?
Ixnay on the Ombre. Yeah.
And it's basically a piano, some symphony instruments, some string instruments, and Dexter singing an auto-tune.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is going to be a thing going forward, because on Days Go By, they redid Dirty Magic off the Ignition album.
They did.
They just covered their own song, and now this one they're doing a different version of another older song.
It's lazy, but I mean, I really do like this. I don't know
the music.
I don't know about the orchestral arrangement, but I kind of do like it because here's the thing: when they did Dirty Magic, on Days Go By, they brought back the Ignition song. I mean, Dirty Magic's one of my favorite Offspring songs of all time. Ignition's probably my favorite Offspring album of all time. I think you...
Oh, yeah, that's my favorite. Yeah.
I really like that song, so I was excited to see, okay, well, you know, what would that song sound like now? So when they put it on Ignition, I was pretty excited about, or Days Go By, I was excited about it. But then I hear Dirty Magic on Ignition, and all I'm hearing is an overproduced version of Dirty Magic from Ignition. And it's like, if you're going to do this, if you're going to be lazy enough,
you got to reimagine
to do one of your old songs and put it on a new album. Yeah. Don't do the same fucking song and just overproduce it like they did with Dirty Magic. Do what you did with Gone Away on this album. The piano and the orchestral background, a reimagining of Gone Away as as one of the closing tracks on the album. I'm fine with it. And, you know, we kind of saw this coming, again, with the Offspring 311 show that me and Chris went to a couple years ago. They've been doing this, Gone Away, this version of Dexter on piano and singing. And, man, it made hair stick up on you. Yeah, a little bit. So, it was awesome to see live this version of it. We saw the band version of them doing Gone Away back in the Americana tour. And now it's the stripped-down version. The
subject matter also works a lot better in this setting because it is a darker song.
Yeah, and I think the only difference is when they did it live with the piano, the band does kind of kick in at the end, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's kind of like how the Foo Fighters do Everlong Live now, where the band just kind of kicks in at the end for that last chorus. So I liked how they did it live, but I'm not sure if I liked that version on the album. I kind of like it just being piano on the album. And the orchestral, maybe it's a little over the top, but I don't mind
it. Take it or leave it. Yeah, it's all right. It's just, I don't know. I was just like, okay, yeah, it's cool. Like, it's different.
Yeah.
I didn't love it, didn't hate it. And then we end with Lullaby, which is just basically an outro of, like, a softer guitar while they do lyrics from Let the Bad Times Roll. Don't go saying we're crazy. Yeah. Crazy.
Just about a minute of that.
Yeah, that's about it. And that is the album.
Uh-huh.
My first thought when I was writing down these notes, because I'd listened to the album, like I said, double-digit times now.
Yeah,
in the last
without
month.
A doubt. It's easy to listen.
And the first thing, I was just like, you know what? I could see that this would be probably optimal, best-case scenario, if they did an EP with like 6 or 7 of these songs.
I can see that.
I think that would have been awesome. I think they stretched it with like the Mountain King and the Lullaby and the Gone Away. They stretched it to make album length.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that why they would want to do that. It's about money. Right. You're only going to get $10 for an EP. You get $20 for an album. I get it. But I really love it. Yeah. Like, I like the content. I like the song.
Yeah. And that,
a lot.
And that's the thing is I really like it too. And the thing about the Offspring is they've been very, very consistent. I appreciate that. They've been very, very consistent throughout their 30-year career. And you know to what an extent you're getting. And what I really like about this album, though, is it doesn't have that bullshit.
No bullshit.
In the middle of the album.
This is the first time since, what, 98 maybe? Or maybe even Ixnay on the Hombre.
Probably Ixnay on the Hombre as far as not having a track where where I need to skip it, where I feel I can't listen to this and I absolutely must skip it.
Yeah.
And Noodles did make a point of saying that in an interview that they wanted to make something that, you know, you didn't have to skip through.
From beginning to end.
Yeah, so I appreciate that. I really do like that a lot, and I've listened to it a whole bunch. Because it's just so easy to listen to, and it's a fun listen, and you don't have to skip through anything.
And you don't have to invest a lot of time.
No,
like
you
said,
don't.
If you're just driving to work, you could probably get through most of the album.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I can get up to probably Opiate Diaries, and I love that. And so my final take on the album is it's a little bit interesting, because as far as the songs on this album, if I'm listing the 20 greatest Offspring songs of all time, the 25 greatest Offspring songs of all time, 25 favorite Offspring songs of all time, I'm not sure if I put anything on this album on that list. Mm-hmm. But at the same time,
it's a cohesive.
It's cohesive. Yeah. It doesn't have that. The playback ability of this album is very, very high, and I really, really appreciate that, and I really, really like that, and I enjoy it. I enjoy this album a lot, And while I wouldn't put it in the top echelon of Offspring albums with Ignition and Smash and X-Nay and Americana, if you, you know, Conspiracy of One,
Splinter,
Let the Bad Times Roll, Splinter, you know, Rise and Fall, you put it in that category right in the middle there.
Yeah, I can
right,
see it.
It's, you know, this is a very, I think it ranks very highly with those middle tier Offspring albums.
Yeah. I think this album is a perfect example of the sum being, like, or the, was it the whole being the greater of the sum of the parts?
I was literally thinking that. Yeah, the parts aren't, they're not
great individually, but together.
But together, this is a very strong and fun, and very vibrant, and really just like, the only word I can keep coming back to is, I sound repetitive here, but this is just a fun album.
Yeah, and I think the world needs a lot more fun shit.
Yeah.
Because I was talking to somebody the other day, and she was just like, why are all the movies, like, depressing and, like, introspective and sad anymore? I'm like, I really wish I could tell you why Adam Sandler's not getting more movies. I'm sorry.
Hey, but Hubie Halloween. I know it's not Halloween
I've
season,
heard about this.
But
yeah.
Check it out.
My sister
Netflix.
Loved it.
It won't be going anywhere because it's Adam Sandler and he's got that big deal at Netflix.
If I'm not mistaken, Mary liked that a lot, if I'm not mistaken, which means we might one day cover it.
Well, if Mary's listening, I enjoyed Hubie Halloween as well.
She hasn't listened to the episode she records.
I won't listen to this either because I can't. I won't listen to my own voice. But
guys, give us feedback on Twitter.
I hope everybody is listening and enjoying.
Give us feedback on Twitter. Tell Mikey's great.
I don't want to hurt the ratings.
The ratings. Oh, we're going to pop a rating. Like it's summer of 98 on USA. Jesus Christ. Come up next, we got Silk Stockings.
But yeah, Let the Bad Times Roll. You know, I
A
really,
plus, man.
I really, really like it. And
much
I like you.
Than,
I
Saint Anger.
Yeah, there was one album that we thought one way of, and then there was another album. And both produced by Bob Rock. See how we bring it all around?
And you can see that this one was definitely much more effort.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Except for some weird spots.
Yeah, except for Army of One. Listen to
like
it and let
song,
me know.
Though.
You tweet
like
us or email
there's
us.
Some weird stuff going on.
Let me know if I'm off on that.
No, no, you're not. I hear it.
All right.
But this is a fun album, and this was fun doing the show, and I appreciate you having me.
We'll probably have you back because Mary's mom now. So.
Well, anytime
you
need me.
If you want.
Me. Yeah, no, I am free.
We'll think
I am available.
Fun next time.
And these were fun. These two shows were fun.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This
and
is what we do.
We love these two bands.
Yeah,
we have since the very beginning. We love. I know we've been critical at times here, but don't get it twisted, man. We love Metallica. We love The Offspring, and we love the 30, 40 years of music they've given us.
Yeah, thank God for them, man. They helped me through a lot of shit. You have no idea, and both of us, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
So
these are my go-tos.
That wraps it up for this week, guys. However, you can find us on Twitter at BrosThisPodcast if you want to get in touch with us. Or you can, if you have longer form feedback, get in touch with us on email at BrotherSisterRewatch@gmail.com. Find us on any podcasting app that you use, whether that be Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Anchor, Podbean, Overcast, wherever you are, you will find us. And each and every Monday on the Jenny Position podcast feed, you can find us talking about movies, TV, now music. You might get another mic voiceover. We'll see.
I hope.
Keep listening, and we'll catch you all on down the road.
Ciao.